Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, as we open the word for this course this morning, give us understanding. Bless us, Lord, that we may take your word and apply it into our lives, even in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we will learn always to be thankful, for you have done great things. The Lord is good, and his mercy is endured forever, even in Jesus' name. This morning, brethren, we are going to speak on a topic that we are all familiar, every human being, every one of us, from one time to the other, has gone through this situation. It's trials. Trials. The topic of the word this morning is from trials to promotion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The trials, most of us doesn't want, but we all want promotion. But this morning we are going to tie the two things together through the word of God. That trials precedes promotion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Trials precedes promotion. And if you cannot withstand the trial, then you may not be entitled to the promotion. But if you go through the trials and you apply the right principles, then there is surely a promotion at the end of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Job made one of the first speech that points to this fact, a very popular speech he made in the scriptures. He said, a man is born of woman, and is of few days, and full of trouble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is Job chapter 14, verse 1. But today we are going to take our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. I want us to open our Bible to this very place. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. Amen? Amen. We are going to take our reading from that part, and then we go on from there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. And I always wonder when I read the word, and it says, for our light affliction. Light affliction. That is very minimal. That is very small. That is not like huge. But this thing the Bible calls light affliction is such that it is almost like a nightmare. It is troubling. It is something that may keep you awake in the night. It is something that you wake with and go to sleep with. It may be something that is so hard on the flesh that you dread even thinking about it. But the Lord God summarized all these things as we are going to prove with the word. He said that our light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, he said it correctly, as I said, man born of woman. He said it's a few days and full of many, many, many troubles. That is the way God designed the world. That is the way God designed it. Now, our job this morning is to bring, why did God put it so? But that is not the main topic. The main topic is, how do we turn our trials to promotion? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We are going to bring four important points along the way. How you can learn how to turn your trials into promotions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the situation many of us find ourselves. There is none of us that doesn't go through trials. If you wake up Obama today and ask him, what are you going through? He has like lines of them. Even though he's the president of the United States or the whole world. If you wake up the most small person here and say, do you have problem? Maybe it is school work. But then trial comes in between. There is small one, there is big one, but all of them are considered to be trials or afflictions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So your trials may be a prelude to a promotion. The outcome of your trials may result in promotion or demotion. It depends on you. As a gem, that is like a diamond or whatever gold is, as a gem cannot be polished without a friction, nor can a child of God be perfected without trials. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Trial is an integral part of our Christian life. Tribulation usually precedes glorification, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Take, for instance, a college footballer in the natural. When they want to they play the college football and all the stuff, and finally they get drafted, they are so happy. I'm drafted into the NFL. I never knew until one incident happened, and I found out that that's not the case. They are drafted, yes. But before they go to play for the NFL, where they make the big bucks and money, they go through what they call the tryout. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In that tryout, maybe they used to run 10 laps as a college footballer. In the tryout, you find out yourself running 20 or 30 laps. If they used to do 100 push-ups, it may be 300. The thing they will go through within that few weeks of tryout is such that many that are drafted will be dropped. Only few will make it to the professional level. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Trials, tryout. The trial is to see if you are qualified, if you are qualified for the promotion that is to come. If you are not qualified, you will be sidestepped, and others will take your place. But if you show by your stem, by your quality, by your character, that you can endure, that you can persevere, then you will be promoted to the next level. Now we look at the news. Some young kids, they are tried in one thing, maybe something happened, and they say, my life is over. And some of them even take their life because they cannot stand the life of trial. We see even the old people. You know, things happen, and at times it got so overwhelming that you say, I cannot handle it again. I will tell you some secrets today that will help you why you can look at trial, not as a trial, but as an avenue, as a process to promotion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A child learning to walk, a small child, when they were born, you know, and so on, and one day they decide that it's time for walk, 9 months, 1 year down the line, they stand up, you see them falling, they fall, they rise up, they fall, they rise up. They don't just fall and stay there. It's a trying time to see if they will have the balance to be able to walk as they go on in life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same child, after the trial, they stabilize. Then they learn to balance, then they learn to walk, then they learn to run, and then one day you see them running around and they are no more falling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then life steps them up to another phase of trial. Life always has a continuous trial. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The principle remains the same, even if the trial is self-induced trial, or the enemy has brought a trial, or God allowed it for whatever reason. Though even you may pay a supreme price in trials, and what is the supreme price that many have paid in trial of their life is even death. The result is also a promotion, because the person will see Jesus if you are a believer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. In our eternal home. In the scriptures, as we read some scriptures this morning, I want to bring out some principles, some things you will hear. In the scriptures, word like affliction is trial. Chastisement, temptations, troubles, persecutions, trials, and tribulations are all related. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Our trial could be in the form of sickness, bereavement, disappointment, marriages gone bad, laborious children, failed relationship, financial troubles, delayed expectations, mean and annoying boss, unanswered prayers, When it looks like if the God's back is turned on you, and your prayer falls on deaf ear, blessed be the name of the Lord. So trials is not just one thing. For those of you children who are sitting here this morning, for those of you husbands and wives who are sitting here this morning, it may be that your own trial is your husband. It may be that your own trial is your wife. It may be that your own trial is your children. You've raised them up to fear the Lord and done everything in your power to steer them in the right direction. But at the time they should look unto to support you and do things right, they are going the other way around. And they afflict your soul. And it burdens you. And you keep up in the night praying. It may be that you have a business you think is going the other way around, is going the other way. It may be that people at your work are just picking on you, standing on your way to gain or go up, doing everything to annoy you, so that when you wake up to go to work in the morning, you are dread even going to see that place. But of course you have to go because you have to pay your bill. Life trials. It may be sickness. It may be bereavement. It may be that you have been praying for something for years. Maybe you are looking for a wife or a husband. And these things are delayed. And you keep wondering, what am I doing here? Why am I still here? Why can't I just get out of this? Does God now answer prayers or not? And you start questioning yourself. At times you start questioning God. At times you start to pray. And then you move it on to shouting. And then you start screaming it out. As I've seen myself do and so many people do. You start screaming and say, why is this happening? Now I want you to know that there is a purpose for your trials. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you start to understand the purpose of your trials, then you will be able to turn it around. And then it will become that all things work together for good for them that love God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I looked through about 50 scriptures or more. And every one of them refer to trial as a light affliction, as a source of promotion, as a good thing for a Christian. Not once did they make trial to become bothersome, the way we look at it, our view of trials. The Bible sees it as a way of upliftment. So why did God put trials in the first place for sons of men? Look at the natural. The example I gave of a footballer who has been drafted, but for him to go professional, they have to put him through a lot of stress to see if he can withstand what is to come. That is exactly the same reason why God allowed trials in our way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. James, the book of James, we are going to use it to as a key, as a code on how we can move trials to promotion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Out of the four things we are going to look at today, number one is James chapter 1 verse 12. James 1:12. Can somebody put it in the board there? James chapter 1 verse 12. Hallelujah. Say, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that is trial. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number one thing I want you to take note of on the sequence of trials to promotion is you have to place a value on trials. What do we mean by value? My car is valued at this amount. This pulpit, there is an amount to it. Now, if you have a value, if you know that this thing is worth something, then it's worth taking care of. What is the value in trials? The value you have to remember here is that every trials will lead to promotion. Don't let Satan or anybody tell you otherwise. It depends on how you handle it. It depends on how you see it. It depends on how you try to resolve it. I say that even if it results in death, it is still a promotion if you have given your life to Christ and through that avenue you go to see Jesus. It's all right, but that is true. It's a promotion, as we are going to show in the scriptures as we go down. But even in the natural, things you go through with your children, with your husband, with your wife, with anything, finance or whatever, if you apply the right principles along the way, it will always turn around for good for them that love God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See the value in your trials. Trial tests our faith. Faith tested bring out the best in us. The unbelieving situation you have has a value. The value is that God is trying to move you to another level. I pray that God will allow this to sink into you. That the afflictions we go through is God allowing situation to move us to next level. Even if it is enemy that has induced it. Even if it is enemy that has brought it up to us. And it is afflicting us, there is a purpose to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 to 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7. Amen. Glory be to God. He said, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptation. 7. That the trials of your faith, being much more precious of than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that it may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. That the trying of your faith be much more precious than of gold that will perish. Now, the Bible is comparing your trial with material things. Among the most valued things people have in life is gold. It doesn't depreciate as any other stuff. Mostly is up there. But he said that the trials of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. It's like passing through a fire when you are going through trial. If you look at the process where gold is manufactured or brought out, you will see what Bible is talking about going through fire. They go to mountain somewhere, they dig a hole in the ground, maybe thousands of feet or whatever. They bring out sand that doesn't look like anything gold. They pass it through the process of cleaning and dross and so on, and they get out something. And then those things, tiny, tiny, tiny stuff that looks like nothing, they pick from the sand and the soil and the manure, and then they wash it, and then they put it through a process of purification. They steam up the fire to a level that it will melt, and then they take out the dross, and then they melt it again, take out the dross, until they have what we call pure gold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. That the trials of your faith be much more precious than of gold. Now, if gold will go through that process to become pure gold, if your trials is more precious to God than this material thing called gold, that is why at times it seems like we are going through fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Indeed, we are going through fire. Amen? But look at the end result, is what we are trying to teach us this morning. Job, in verse 23, understood the value of trial. Job 23, verse 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 23, verse 10. I'll read. But he knoweth my way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen? Amen. The same gold they are using in the scriptures. This is a man that is going through fire. And later on, as we go into the last part, I will explain more of this. People around him doesn't understand. So they are confused.
How did things suddenly turn around overnight? Today you are running on top, and just tomorrow you are like in the valley. Job made a statement here that God knoweth the way I take. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And neither believe it or not, God knows every single one of us here. We all believe that. But we know that God knows the way you take. That is the situation you will face. That is the situation that will come tomorrow, or that will come in the next 1 or 2 hours, whether they are good or bad. He said that God knows each one of them. But then he said, when he had tried me, not if God will try. Believe me, your life or my life, every one of us, it is not if. It is a question of when. There is bound to be trials. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Trials will come. It depends on how you handle trials. That is what we define whether it will be a promotion or demotion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Depends. It doesn't matter what it is. The same principle holds. If you understand the value of a trial from beginning, like Job did here, he said that after he tried me, I will come forth as gold purified in fire. If you understand the value of temptation and trial, like Jesus Christ, who was exalted after he has been tried, then you will start to know that this is God in action. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. My distinct gave up. Let's turn this up. Glory be to God. Another second part of this, but before we go, I just remembered something I saw on CNN a few days ago. I was preparing this message and said that Mandela, the great man, died. He's one of the few African leaders I respected. He put in a lot for his people. He went through a nightmare of a life, 27 years in prison. I understand that for a tall man, he's tall. He is squatted in a 6x8, just a room, maybe a little bigger than that place we play the drum, of about the same size. This is where he spent 27 years of his life. And I was listening to CNN. So I was preparing this message. I took a break to see what is going on there. And there were three people who were talking about his life. And one of them, a man, starts saying that before Mandela went to prison, that Mandela wasn't what he was after he came out of prison. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That picked up my interest because I was preparing a message on trial. He started to elaborate the view he has that wasn't going to get his people anywhere. You know, the bomb throwing and something he did and so on and so forth in those days as he was agitating for his people to be liberated. Then they caught him and put him in prison. Justified or not, I don't know. But for you to put a man 27 years there is just horrification. But he went through there. But then the man said that after 27 years, he came out pure and different. His mindset changed. His thought changed. He said in one of his quotes that if you are forced to walk with your enemy, that you may have to have a discourse with that enemy. And then you may have to make that enemy a partner. Graduating an enemy to a partner. And that's exactly the principle he followed after he came from jail. That's one of his quotes. Before this time, he sees them as people, enemies, and they were enemies, no doubt. But when he goes through trial, he now learns through what he has suffered that there is another process he can use, reaching out, communicating, understanding, and accommodating people also. And that won the liberty of his people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I listened to this man. I don't know whether he's a Christian. I cannot speak verbatim what he said. But he said it in the sense that trials, temptation that this great man Mandela went through, brought him out as a changed man. And becoming a changed man did things that he couldn't have done prior to that 27 years. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another great point that the Bible brought forth is James chapter 1 verse 2. As I say, James gave us the key to the principle of turning our trials to promotion. James chapter 1 verse 2. Amen? Let's read it quickly. James 1, 2, please. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. As I said, I looked about 50 scriptures. Every one of them, or most of them, always talk of joy. Locked up with trials. And I looked at the trials of my own life. Situation I've woke up in the night and cried. Disappointments, frustrations. At times I become bitter. At times I become negative. But Bible keep telling, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Diverse, not just because you're a Christian or not Christian or whatever and so on and so forth. Say whatever temptation, say count it all joy. How can you be able to count it as a joy when you are going through life nightmare? Because you understand the value. Because you know that what I'm going through has a value in it. And if only I can endure it and put up with it and endure, and God will promote me at the end of this situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christ endured trials because he was looking at the promotion that is to come. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Count it all joy. Now, some of us, when we go through trial, we become so gloom. We make ourselves more miserable, and everybody around us more miserable than us. And then we recruit people to be miserable like us because misery enjoys company. Is that what the scripture says? No. It says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Say, him that I went through the other time, and what made the woman rode him, I've forgotten the name of that him, was because she went to visit another woman and the husband. And they've been through life trials. So many things, children passed away, so many things happened to them. And he came into their house and it was full of such sunlight and peace of joy and so on. I say, how can this be? How can somebody who went through this situation maintain this kind of attitude? And he asked the woman, an older lady, he said, well, the Lord is good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That I see these things as light affliction, just like the Bible says it, compared to the weight of glory that shall be manifest or revealed to us. So, number two is, be joyful when you go through trial. And the only way you can be joyful in your trials is when you know that there is a value in it. That at the end of the day, this trial is going to turn to a testimony. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To the glory of God. Because the scripture does say, and I believe it, that all things work together for good for them that love God. Amen?
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 Amen? God be praised. Then number three is, don't give up. Some of us throw our hand and say, that is the end. I can't fight this again. I'm overwhelmed. I'm alone in this situation. Therefore, there is nothing I can do. They call up more or less and die. They don't fight again. Now I'm asking you, pray, don't give up, even in your trials. Amen?
Amen.
Ask for knowledge and wisdom to help you negotiate through those dark nights, through those dark hours. This is in James chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, 5 to 6. Let's open it. As I say, James gave the key to all these trials. How to turn it to trials to promotion. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Open it for us, please. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, this is in the same place. It started from verse 2, talking about trials, all the way to 12. And we are taking a bit of it to show to you how this man who caught a revelation about what trials is all about gave us a key, a code, a process whereby we can overcome these trials. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, not in wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I said here, pray, don't give up in the hour of your trial. Don't get tired, don't get weary. Don't say enough is enough. It's been going on for donkey years, I don't know what else to do. Ask for wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge will give you facts. Wisdom will tell you how to apply those facts. Ask for God to give you a way out of this corner. Many a times our own trial comes because we have pushed ourselves to a corner. Take for instance somebody that doesn't know that salary is this amount I make. And they want to live like somebody who makes 10 times what they are making. And they start spending and spending and spending until they find themselves painted into a corner. And debtors and people start calling them every day to, you know, come and pay your debt. You brought that trial and circumstances to yourself. I'm using things not just from God here. But then you say, at a point, enough is enough. What can I do? And you start praying and God for God to give you wisdom. And start saying, one of the things I have to do is to cut my coat according to my size. And you start applying the principle of wisdom, and before you know it, you have come out of debt and stabilized yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what prayer, recognizing your situation, and upon using wisdom to turn things around. So there are things you can do spiritually. There is things you can do physically. There are things you can do in every aspect to turn your trials around. But the same principle holds. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The last part and the hardest and the most important part of how to turn your trials around is to be patient and wait for God's salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. James chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. James 1, 3 and 4. The most important part on how to turn your trials around. The most valuable on how to turn it around, secondary to no other, because even if you pray and you do all this stuff, but you don't wait for God's salvation, nothing will come out of it. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen? Amen. Let's go to 5. But let patient have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's go to 3 again. James 1, 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patient. And then he says in 4, go back to 4 please. But let patient have a perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This is the area I want to bring out some things that I believe will help you, because that's the area I've made my own mistakes and I try to learn. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The hardest part, I said, and the most important in turning your trials around is to learn to be patient. And I found out that when God appointed trials or trials come your way, people around you doesn't understand. People closest to you does not understand. They don't understand that there is a value, there's a reason, there's a purpose for this trial. So advice will start coming from left, right, front, and back on how to turn it around. I'll give you some examples from the scripture. Job. Immediately Job's trial come, what happened? People around him does not understand. They don't want him to exercise patience and wait for God's salvation. Even though Later on, Job started to understand and say, no, I have to be patient and wait for God's salvation. The closest of all the people around him, his own very wife, and his friends who came to help him through the trials of time of his trials. What did they tell him? He said, do not wait for God's salvation. They told him to curse God and die. Job, why are you going through this? Your life has turned from this to this. You were up there before in the 100% and now you are zero, below zero. What is life worth again for you? And Job said in the beginning, shall we get the good things from God and not also at times the bad or vice versa? He said that Job worshipped God and thanked God for his trial. But the people that is around him does not understand. They told him, curse God and die. Around from that point, his friends came, and every day was a torment to Job. This is a man that understood the value of trial. He keep telling them it's not so, but they keep just turning him around and telling him that it's not worth making the effort again. Do not allow that to happen to you. In the hour of your trial, if people around you will not be able to support you, look unto Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same thing happened to Abraham. He understood what God was doing, that his faith is being tested, and the Bible says it was counted unto him for righteousness. But do you know that within a few years of his test, faith being tested, his own very wife, people closest to you, will give you the advice to move you away from the promotion that God has ordained through your trials. People closest to you, watch that. They may not do it intentionally. They may not plan it. It's the enemy at work. Know that your trial is for a promotion. And though it tarry, wait for that God's salvation. The wife said to him, my Lord, and so on and so forth, as they called them in those days, we have waited for my wife from my womb. I know God promised us that you have a child from me. But I'm getting old. I can't see it happening. Now take Hagar, my maid servant, go in unto her, and let her conceive a bear a child so that I can hold that child in my knee. Do you know the headache that decision has cost us today? The product of that union was Ishmael. Today, the world is still bearing the brunt of that decision. We haven't seen the last of it. You said, why is it so? Because that is not God's intention. The same woman that told Abraham to go in and do contrary to the will of God, because the trial delays, because the agony abides, she turned around and said, cast that woman and her son away. And so they cast them away. And along the way, the woman was about to die in the wilderness. An angel of the Lord came and prophesied, say, your hand shall be upon your enemies, and your enemies' hand upon you, and so on and so forth. And it has been so till today. Ishmael has been a thorn on flesh on the sons of Abraham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be watchful when you are going God's appointed trial of the advice of people around you on how to turn it around. Your trial is your trial. Wait on God's salvation. Apply these principles I'm telling you this morning. Look unto God for salvation and not from any man. Whether that trial is financial, whether it is this and that, filter anything you hear with the word of God at the moment of your trial. People lose their promotion. People leave the upliftment that God planned for them through their trial because they have listened to other people. When God starts to leave people at times, and we become pride and full of ourselves, and God brings them down. I've seen it so many times. And try to correct you so that you can learn from your mistake. People around you could continue pushing you more and more and tell you, continue in the path, continue in the way that you have brought you so, when God is looking for you to turn around and say, I have sinned, I've made a mistake, pride has brought me this low, I need to turn around and humble myself so that God can lift me up again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The principle holds. David, at the moment of his own trial, anointed king of Israel, appointed to God to lead his own people, he did not ask for it. He did not beg for it. He was doing his own thing in the wilderness and God brought it out. So he went on to become anointed of God to be king. And what happened is that Saul became bitter and decided to kill David. And David says in the book of Psalms, he said, my soul is among lions. That is how bad it is. People came from everywhere to tag around David. Circumstances were just going from bad to worse. At a day, he was doing his own thing and Saul cast a javelin to kill him and missed. After some time, he said, if I stay here, I will die. So he took off running. First, he went to the land of his enemies and pretended to be mad. This was a man appointed to be king. He was reduced to nothing. He said, I run from mountain to mountain. Go through the book of Psalms. He said, my soul is just like, you know, afflicted. He was going from place to place running for his life. Saul took 3,000 men to come and kill him. And at the first time, Saul went into a cave to sleep as they were looking for 3,000 soldiers, looking for one man. So Saul doesn't know that David happens to be in the inner part of that cave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And then Saul went to sleep and David came out and saw him. And the men around him and the people around him, his closest of friends, people that are so close to him, say, what? Patient? Put patient away. This is the time the Lord has appointed. This is the time that the Lord has said you will become king in Israel. I don't want to read all those stuff. No, I'm just going to tell a story. Arise and kill him. Let us kill him right now. Don't wait for God's salvation. The promotion David was to have will have gone if he has killed Saul. Kill him right now. What are you waiting for? David said, no, I will not. He went and cut, that is how close he is. He cut off part of Saul's garment with his own knife. The time he will cut off that thing is longer than the time he will just take and kill Saul. He said, I will wait patiently for the salvation of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People around you in the time of your affliction will turn what is supposed to be your promotion to demotion if you don't listen to God. David refused. So I will not do this. I will wait for God. He may go to battle and die. He may go to riding a horse and be thrown and die. I don't know, but it will be from the Lord. My hand will not speed up my own salvation. I will wait for God's salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then, after that, it happened again. Saul, after he saw that this man cut off this thing, and went to a mountain and called from him and said, people tell you that I'm trying to kill you. Your life was in my hand, and I can kill you within second. But I didn't. Why is the king of Israel after nobody? Why are you persecuting me? I cannot sleep. I cannot rest. I'm running from mountain to mountain, from cave to cave, from valley to valley, trying to save my life. I have no ill will towards you. Saul said, my son David, I'm sorry. I will not do it again. I now know you are righteous and you are good. He went. Then the enemy stirred him again, and he took another thousands of men and went after David. The second time. I'm telling this story for a reason for some of us here. Maybe it is you. And he went to sleep, and David saw where he's sleeping, and Abishai, one of the men that is closest to David, like his own brother, said, the Lord has delivered. He said, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand this second time. If you cannot do it, allow me, Abishai. I'm a man of war. I will take a spear. I will kill him just one stroke, and your trial is over. Your temptation is over. Your affliction is over. This is the only thing standing between you and promotion. This is the only thing standing you between what God appointed for you. He prophesied to David. He cried and said, allow me to take King Saul's life. For this is God. Can you see that we walked right to where they are and everybody is sleeping? And the Bible said that a deep sleep fell upon Saul and Abner and all the men of the war, the captain of the host, and they did not even stir. A deep sleep. They say, that is a sign from God. Let's kill him and be done with. David says what? No. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will wait for what? The salvation of God. In your trials, your patience will be tested. That is normal. That is a given. That is part of it. He took the water bottle. That is how close it is. The water bottle by the side of Saul. And took the spear. And went again in the mountain and called Abner, the captain of the host. I would have killed you, O king. Why are you after me? Some of us in our work, trials come. And we get all bananas. And I find myself at times in the same situation. And then I felt ashamed. If only I handled it the right way, what was supposed to be a trial will be a promotion for me and for God. Because if you do the right thing, people will see the Lord Jesus Christ in your action. But when we go trial, we become so bitter. We become so full of ourselves, self-righteous. We become so self-sympathizes with ourselves. We become so, our face gloomy. Say, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulation. For this is a pattern, a process that God has put in place for you to be promoted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David will have lost God's favor if he has taken his own salvation into his hand. David will have lost it all if he has taken his own salvation into his hand. Job will have lost it all if he had decided to curse God and die like the wife that's close to him said. Abraham created a problem me and you are still dealing with today. Because he listened to the advice of the people closest to him in the hour of his trials. Yes, till today, we're still going through that. I can't go through the scriptures. Time will not allow me to speak of others, you know, Joseph and many others, who trials and tribulation lifted themselves up through trusting in the Lord and not giving up. Say, what is my trial today? Your own may be children. Your own may be wife or husband. It may be finances. It may be people around you. It may just be mother-in-law. It may be father-in-law. It may be friends. It may be whatever it is. Allow patience to have its perfect work. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Patient, perfect work is what David did. What is patience, perfect work? Not my own hand, but I will wait for the salvation of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Everybody, that's in closing. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Let's read. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. In trial, this is part of what it is. Say we are troubled in every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. I'll open it here, please. Okay. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Can somebody read it with me, everybody in this church? Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Your trial will never destroy you. It can only result in promotion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you stand and wait for the salvation of God. As the saying goes, when life hands you a lemon, what do you do with it? Make a lemonade. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Supposed to be a bitter stuff, but you can take that lemon and make a lemonade out of it. Amen? That is what you are supposed to do with your trials. Make a crown of your thorn. You know those spikes that they put around Jesus' head? He turned it to a crown. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why me and you have salvation today. It was meant to torture him. He became a crown of glory. Turn your defeat into victory. Amen? Amen. Your trials into triumph. Amen? Amen? Don't become a victim. Become a victor. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Be like the stars that shine brightest even in the darkest hour. That is what we are supposed to be. Be like the stars when the night is so dark. In that wee hours before daybreak, it's so dark and then you see the star shining brightest. That is what we are supposed to be like. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the glory that is to come, in Hebrews, we're not going to read them. Hebrews 11, 35 to 37. He talked of women who refused deliverance in the hour of their trial. Let's just read it. Put Hebrews 11, 35 to 37, please. I'll open it. Amen. These are women. For those of us who may say, well, I'm a weaker vessel or weaker sex or whatever, what I'm going through, I'll read from 35 to 37. Amen. He said, who through faith subdued, I'm sorry, from 35, women received their dead to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Amen. That's why I say that even if it results in death, your trials is still a promotion. He said this woman refused deliverance. I've read many medieval histories, the torture of the time of Christ, just one, so many of them. They refused deliverance. They stand their ground. They say, I will not give up because of the crown of glory that await me for better resurrection. 35, 36. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bond and imprisonment. Listen to this. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. We are tempted. We are slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And this world is not worthy of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They endured all this stuff because they believe. Paul, a servant of God, I look at it and say, how can he call it light affliction? He faced death many times, in prison many times. He was chained, beaten with barbed wires. I counted how many times he was beaten, 5 times. 195 times. He said, I was beaten 39 times times 5. You can read it in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and so on. He was beaten, stoned and left for dead. He was denied by his friends and fellow believers. Shipwrecked, buffeted by Satan. To the point that he called on God so many times. I pray for people who are blind and they see. the lame walked, this thing, but I have my own affliction. Lord, take it away. Say, no, for my grace is sufficient unto you. That's what this man went through. Beatings 5 times, 39 times times 5 with barbed wires. Stone and left for dead. At a point they have to drop him through the city wall in the dead of the night. He was shipwrecked in hungers, in fasting, in this thing. He was destitute and so on. Yet, what did he say in the scripture? He says he called these things light affliction. Light affliction. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A light affliction compared to the promotion that will follow. That is what made him endure. As you go through your own trials, or what people define as nightmare, as dark hours, affliction, temptation, tribulation, or whatever it is, what will make you to endure is to know the value of your trials. Apply joy. Pray. And more than every other thing, wait patiently for the salvation of God. For Jesus to be promoted, what did the Bible tell us? He humbled himself. In those days, the Romans, if they want to kill somebody, the worst death, the lowest death that is meant for non-citizens and for people who are laborious or the worst type of criminals is death on the cross. That's exactly where Jesus went. But at the end of it, what did the Bible say? For God has exalted him above all names, giving him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. That is the promotion he got after his own trials. I will end with this quote that I wrote. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Know that God never moves without a purpose. Amen?
Amen.
When trying his children or molding a man, endure even when the test seems long. And when you could not see through the darkness and shadows ahead, focus on the guiding light that is Christ Jesus. Know and believe that when you are tried and tested, you will be purified, and you shall comfort as gold without a dross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'll read it fast again for those of you who didn't listen first. Know that God never moves without a purpose. When trying his children or molding a man, endure even when the test seems so long. And when you could not see through the darkness and shadows ahead, focus on the guiding light that is Christ Jesus. Know and believe that when you are tried and purified, you shall come forth as gold without a dross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord, everyone. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground the sinking sand, oh Lord.